Cross at the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens, my heart rolled away. John chapter number 5, as we stand to our feet tonight in honor of God's Word. John chapter number 5, we'll read one verse of Scripture, the verse we've looked at every week. That's verse number 23. The Lord Jesus, of course, is speaking here, and He says that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. And we understand that tonight that we are to honor the Lord. And the way to honor God the Father is to honor God the Son. And it's very vital that we do this and take upon ourselves to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no greater name, and there's no one more worthy to be lifted up than Him, because there's none other name given among men, under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. So we need to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. We've looked at different avenues, honoring the Lord in our message, honoring the Lord in our music, honoring the Lord in our money, honoring the Lord in our methods, and tonight we're going to look at honoring the Lord in our members, Let's pray together. Father, I pray that You would have Your will and way in these next few moments. I pray, Lord, that Thy will would be done in our lives personally, individually, Lord. May You speak to us and may we hear what You have to say. And these next few moments that we have together, I pray, Father, would be life-changing event, be a life-changing, life-changing decisions would be made. I pray that You clarify my mind, my thoughts, my words tonight. And these next few days that we have here in this world, we believe You're coming soon. Lord, may we live it in a way that brings honor unto Thee. And we'll thank You and praise You for what's accomplished. For it's the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. When we talk about our members tonight, we're talking about the members of a local congregation. And we've talked about the church, you know, for years. We believe in the local church. And we believe ministries are part of the local church. And I've given you a definition that's been taught to me about what a church is. And that's a group of baptized believers that have voluntarily joined themselves together to carry out the Great Commission. And the Great Commission was given to the local church. And we have a responsibility in doing this. And so we unite with the church and we accomplish the will of God and we associate, we identify with Christ and with His church. And we begin to talk about the church and somebody says, you know, I go to such and such church and people automatically in their mind, they get the picture of a building. But a church is not a building. It houses the church, but the church is the people. Christ died for the church, and He didn't die for this building, dear friends. He died for the people. And so we need to understand tonight that a building is not what honors or dishonors the Lord, but what honors or dishonors the Lord are the people, is the church. You know, we can make this the most beautiful edifice in all the world, and people could drive by it and just marvel at how it looks and all the different things about it. And if that's the only honor that God got out of this place, it would be a sad, sad place. But if we're going to be what God wants us to be, we must honor the Lord with our lives individually. We must be what it is that God wants us to be. And people that's on the outside must see Christ honored in our members if we're going to make a difference in our day. Somebody said, to change the future, you have to disturb the present. The only way that we're going to disturb the present is by taking our stand for the Lord and honoring Him with our lives. In other words, we're going to do what's right regardless of what anybody else says, thinks, does, you know, what persecution it may bring upon us. If we're going to honor Christ tonight and our members, there's some questions that I think we need to ask. Questions that we need to ask, and we're going to look at these three questions tonight, and we'll be done, and hopefully the Lord will speak to your heart through this. First of all, if we're going to honor Christ as members of this church, we need to ask ourselves, are we willing to give up that which dishonors the Lord? Are we willing to give up that which dishonors the Lord? Now, there are things in all of our lives, there's no doubt, that we don't want anybody else to know about. You know, it could be something way in our past. And boy, if you've been saved, it's under the blood, and thank God you've been forgiven. But I think every one of us realize that there are still battles in the present. We all may have certain battles with the flesh. And sometimes we'll have things in our life that really doesn't please the Lord. And we need to realize that if we have something that dishonors the Lord in our life, we're not going to be an effective servant for Christ. We're not going to lift Him up. Christ is not going to be able to shine through us the way that He wants to shine through us. Christ is not going to be able to accomplish in our lives what He wants to accomplish in our life if we're not honoring the Lord the way that we should. So are we willing to give up that which dishonors the Lord? The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 34, the Bible says, "Awake to righteousness." Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God." And then listen to this. He says, "I speak this to your shame." Now, if you know anything about the church at Corinth, you know that they had a problem with carnality. I mean, they were a fleshly bunch of people. Paul had to deal with all kinds of things that was going on in the church at Corinth. Go and read it, and you're going to find out he was dealing with all kinds of issues, all kinds of problems. And the main problem was that there was a bunch of carnal Christians in the church at Corinth. They wanted to have one foot in the world and one foot in the church, or one foot in the service of the Lord, and they wanted to straddle the fence. But all they were doing was they were dishonoring the Lord. And Paul was writing here, and he says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not." You want to know why? Because there's a lot of people that don't know God. And Paul says, "I speak this to your shame." There's 6.7 billion people in the world today. 6.7, that's a lot of people, isn't it? 6.7 billion people, and people that study these things, and especially missionary boards and missionary societies and people that study missionary things, they say out of that 6.7 billion people, that 4.7 billion have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that not an amazing thing to you? 4.7 billion people have never... You can't imagine that, can you? You've lived here in the comforts of the United States of America. You've grown up in a place where the gospel is preached Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday. But right next door to many of us are somebody that may have never heard the gospel. And Paul says, "I speak this to your shame." Because if we're living right, then they're going to see something in us, and we're going to be able to approach people with the gospel. Now, it doesn't mean everybody's going to receive it. But what we need to understand tonight, it is our responsibility to live our lives in such a way that people would be willing to listen to us give them the gospel. We have to give up things which dishonor the Lord. Look, I think you ought to consider all kinds of things. We could go down a list. I'll miss some if I do, but, you know, there's certain ways we ought to dress all the time, always modest, always right. There's certain ways we ought to act. There's certain words that should never come out of our mouth. There's certain things we shouldn't attend. There's certain places, you know, that we shouldn't endorse. You understand that. But we have got to ask ourselves, are we willing to give up anything in our life which dishonors the Lord? It's our responsibility to bring honor to Christ. And in order to bring honor, we have to give up that which dishonors the Lord. Because we're never going to honor the Lord the way that we should if we have something in our life that dishonors the Lord. I think that's a simple thing tonight, don't you? It's not like I'm preaching some great, you know, earth-shattering conversation here. I'm just saying tonight that we need to awake to righteousness. I'm not saying it. God said it. Sometimes it's not because we're living so wickedly and so ungodly, but we're just asleep. We're just like zombies going through life. And realize that if the righteousness of Christ is going to be seen in this world, it needs to be seen in us. And we have to wake up. We can't be zombies. We can't be walking dead people, you know. We're alive in Christ. We ought to live like we're alive in Christ. I see so much that's going on, and you know, so many things that are being accepted in congregations today that's unholy, that's unbiblical, and that doesn't honor the Lord. There's places, you look, people, there's churches that may be growing to thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands, but does their message line up with the Word of God? Do their members as a whole, look, there's always problems. You understand that. You can have so many members, and you understand what I'm saying. There could always be a few that doesn't do what they ought to do. Sometimes it may be many. But as a whole, when groups of people go out of that church, are they honoring the Lord? And can people say, man, there's something different about that bunch of people? I think people need to see something different about Christians. I just happen to believe that when we're out in public, or even when we're in private, if we're going to honor the Lord, it's not only in public, it's in private, because God knows everything about us. But people ought to see that there is something about us that we have a desire to honor the Lord. And honoring the Lord, it's speaking up for Him, yes, but it's speaking in the right way for Him. Awake to righteousness. We're living in a world that's unrighteous. We're living in a world that's unholy. And by the way, it's always been unrighteous and it's always been unholy ever since sin came into the world, and sin came in with Adam and Eve. We understand that. There's always been that source of evil in the world ever since man sinned. But God has always commanded His people to be holy and to be righteous if we're going to make a difference. When Israel was following God and obeying His commands, God poured out His blessings on Israel. But when they decided that they wanted to give in to the pagan gods of the world and worship the paganism of the world, then God pulled His hand off. Well, I want to tell you something. As God's people tonight, if we want the blessings of God, we have to do what God says. And that's awake to righteousness and sin not. We're not talking about sinless perfection. It's saying when we do make our mistakes and when we do mess up, we confess that sin and we get it right. We forsake it. We need to do some things in our lives. Number two, are we willing to commit ourselves totally to Him? Are we willing to commit ourselves totally to Him? I want you to look with me in the Old Testament. It's a beautiful passage of Scripture. David's writing this psalm, Psalm 37. And I love what it says. We've already said that we're living in an evil world in a difficult time. There's no doubt. There's evil people that's all around. And sometimes, don't you just feel like that the evil's winning? Don't you feel like that the wicked are... It seems like they can just get by with everything, doesn't it? Don't you just sometimes want to throw in the towel and say, what is the use anyhow? Well, David understood that all the way back in the Old Testament. And David wrote this. He said, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and withers the green herb. So look here. If we'll do what's right, God will take care of us. And we don't need to fret because it seems like the wicked may be winning. It seems like that the unholy and the unrighteous and the ungodly seems like they can get by with everything. I want you to realize that it may seem like they're getting by with everything, but there's a day coming when they're not going to get by with anything. They're going to stand before a just and a holy God. Dear friends, we need to not fret because of evildoers. So, what is it that we need to do? The Bible says in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. We're not saved by good works, but we ought to do good works because we are saved. Trust in the Lord and do good, the Bible says. And He shall give thee the desire, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. There's all kinds of promises here. If we trust in the Lord, then we're going to be able to have the rest that God has for us. That land is that land of victorious Christian living that God has.
If we'll trust in the Lord and do good, God's going to take care of us. That doesn't mean that everything's just going to be perfect, but God is going to give us peace in the midst of a storm. God is going to give us rest in the day of trouble, and God is going to be a refuge to us and for us, to whom we can run into whenever it seems to be getting too heavy and too hard and too hot for us. But we have to trust in the Lord. He's just said, fret not thyself because of evildoers. In other words, the people that's all around them, it seems like they may be winning, and it seems like they're oppressing and they're pushing down on Christians, and we're, you know, it seems like we're being the ones that's being, I don't know how to put it. It seems like that everybody can get by with everything, but Christians are persecuted. You understand what I'm saying? More and more and more we're seeing these things happen. It's signs of the times. We understand that. But it says, fret not thyself. So what do? We trust in the Lord. And we continue just to do the right things. Just because evil may seem to be winning doesn't mean that it is winning. We have to trust the Lord and do right. We have to do good. And while the evil may seem to be winning, they have really no peace. But we have all the peace we need. We can have great peace in this world. And we can dwell in the land. We can have the victory that God has for us. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I'm glad God promised that He'd provide my needs, but here He says that if I'll delight in Him, if I'll trust Him, do right, and delight in Him, He'll give me the desires of my heart. And you know what? God's given me a lot of my desires. And it's not because I've been so good. He's merciful. But how many of us tonight have more than we know that we deserve? And how many of us tonight can say, you know, He's given me things that I've asked for. And I didn't really deserve it. He was just so good to me. I could ask every one of you tonight, do you think God's been better to you than anybody else? And every one of us will say, yes. But then this fifth verse is very important. I ask you the question, are we willing to commit ourselves totally to Him? Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. He shall bring it to pass. In a world with troubles and tribulations, in a world filled with despair, in a world with great anguish, we need to just commit our way to the Lord and let Him take care of everything. Trust in Him and do good. Delight yourself in Him. And then commit your way to the Lord. And there are some things we ought to commit to the Lord. Number one, you ought to commit your faith to the Lord. You ought to be a people of faith. We ought to be a people of faith. But commit that faith to the Lord. We put our faith in the Lord to save us. And so many times that's the end of our faith. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. So we understand that this faith is what pleases the Lord. Without it, we cannot please the Lord. So we have to commit our faith to the Lord, not only for salvation, we must believe that He is, that's our salvation, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We have to trust Him. We have to trust Him for eternal life, yes. But we also have to trust Him for the abundant life. That's committing our faith to the Lord. The second thing is we ought to commit our family to the Lord. Are we willing to commit our family to the Lord? We raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As a husband and wife, we pray together about things, and we seek the Lord's guidance, and we do what God wants us to do. Our goals are not our goals. Our goals are what God's goal is for us. You know how many young people I hear say something like, you know, I want to grow up and be rich and have this, that, and the other, you know, and this is what my career path is going to be and all that, and I never hear them say anything about the will of God. A family that honors the Lord is going to say, the most important thing you can do, son, the most important thing you can do, daughter, is the will of God. Amen. Commit your family to the Lord. I don't care about my children being rich. I don't care about them having money to take care of old dad when he gets old and feeble and can't get around. I do care about them doing what God wants them to do with their life. And if God makes them rich and wealthy, then hallelujah. I'm going to tell them to give it all to the Lord.
God's taking care of me. Do you realize how good God's been to me? I have nice clothes. They're not expensive clothes. I have nice clothes. I have nice automobiles, and the engine may blow up tomorrow. If it does, it's been good while I've had it. God will provide somehow. And God's given me the greatest wife and most wonderful children and all the world. God's been too good to me. He's been so good. I must commit my family to the Lord. And we have these conversations all the time about everything God's given to us and how He's taken care of us. He's a faithful God. And we need to commit our family to the Lord. You know, my mom and dad, they'll tell you growing up, they never talked to me about these things, but my mom and dad wasn't living for the Lord when I was growing up. And we were more concerned about the living we were going to make. But boy, when Dad got right with the Lord, it began to affect our whole family. He got right with God, and then got us to go to the revival meeting. Mom and my mom got saved the same night that I was saved. Same altar, you know, one at one end, one at the other end. It's an amazing thing what happens when the dad gets right. When mom gets right, it's good. But boy, when the dad gets right, it seems like the whole family gets right. Something special about that. See, God's got certain things in this Bible that helps us to understand these roles that God gives us. Then we started committing our family to the Lord. Mom and Dad started committing. Dad really started committing the family to the Lord. We had family altar every night. Some of the greatest times I ever remember is sitting around the three of us reading the Bible. My brother and sister was already gone. We sat and read the Bible, and Dad determined when he got his heart right with God, we're going to try to have the right kind of family. Things began to change. Things began to happen. Different kinds of music went. Certain kinds of music went away from the house, and other kinds of music came into the house. Certain kinds of shows went off the TV, and other kinds of shows was permissible. Hey, I remember every time a beer commercial came on for years that we would change the channel because we didn't want to see it, didn't want to laugh at it. I think it's a sad thing when we sit and laugh about how funny a beer commercial is. You know how many people die every year because of alcohol? How many innocent people die? The one that's drinking it many times don't get hurt, but it's the ones they hit gets hurt. And we laugh because a frog makes a funny noise. We laugh a lot of times scantily. Dad said, you know, we can't do this. But it's amazing how from generation to generation to generation, things are more acceptable. Jody and I were talking about a certain show that was on 20 or 25 years ago, and it had girls in bathing suits on it, and people just thought it was the worst thing. Not two-piece bathing, I'm talking about one-piece bathing suits, and people just thought, that's risque. And if you see it now, you just laugh. You think, what's so bad about that? The devil's winning in our families. And we need to commit our families to the Lord. And then we need to commit our fellowship. Our faith, our family, and our fellowship. When I talk about our fellowship, I'm talking about the church. A fellowship of believers. I'm talking about this, the ministries of this church. Commit ourselves to the ministries of the fellowship that God has placed us in. God doesn't call everybody to preach. Not everybody's the pastor. Not everybody's going to be this. Not everybody's going to be a Sunday school teacher. Not everybody can sing. Not everybody can do certain things. But God has something for you to do. And be committed to doing whatever it is God wants you to do in the fellowship. I'm talking about honoring the Lord with our members tonight. With people that are part of this church. Honoring the Lord. And then finally, let's ask this question. Can we truly say that Christ is honored with our lives? And I want us to go back to the very place where we started in John chapter 5. And I'm closing. John chapter 5 and verse number 23. This whole portion when the Lord Jesus was being accused because He had done something on the Sabbath day. Healed a man. He'd done right. They were trying to bring Him down, and then He associated Himself with God the Father. And He said, My Father worketh hitherto, in verse number 17, and I work. And
Well, they thought that was awful. Therefore, the Jews, the Bible says, sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And Jesus goes into this discourse. And he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what things he saith the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth him, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." So here we find the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. You know what they are? They're one. The Son does nothing without the Father, and the Father does nothing without the Son. But they have their different purposes and their different places. And he says, the Father hath given judgment to the Son. Why did the Father give judgment to the Son? Well, the Bible says in verse number 27, he has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. Do you remember what the Bible said? That Christ became flesh? He was in this world. He was tempted in all the points like we're tempted. He understands your feelings. He understands your emotions. He understands how when somebody says something against you, he is somebody that can identify with us. And so he's a righteous judge. And when you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't say, but you don't understand this. You've never been where I've been. Yes, he has. So he's going to do these things. So we see this relationship between the God the Father and God the Son. And then he said in verse 23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Can we truly say tonight that Christ is honored with our lives? If we're honoring Christ, we're honoring God. And we need to honor the Lord Jesus Christ with our lives. Because he's the one that's going to judge us. He's going to judge us, dear friends, with his word. We're going to be judged by the book. And his judgment is going to be righteous and true. And the thing about it is we'll have no excuse. You know how many times I make excuses to people? How many times others have made excuses to me? You know? I remember getting phone calls and I remember the excuses I used to make to Dad when we were in. He was going to church faithfully. Now, I hadn't been saved. I was very religious, but I wasn't saved. But I could give him all kinds of excuses. Oh, you know, I don't feel good. But boy, after I got saved, it seemed like it wasn't so hard to. I didn't want to give those excuses. But you know how people make excuses? Chris and I, we call it Wednesday-itis, Sunday-night-itis, you know. We call it all kinds of things sometimes. But it seems like there's always something. But when we stand before the Lord, and you know, by the way, it's going to work with me. I'm not the judge. I'm not going to stand here and say, well, you're blah, 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 blah. I really try to not do that. Somebody calls me and says something. But the Lord knows. And I think about all when I stand before the Lord, and I thought about the times. I've thought so many times about when I've not done with my life what I'm supposed to. I've thought about what I'm going to say to the Lord. And I just realized that I hope I can do this. I hope I can just bow before him and just over and over say, I'm sorry for that. You're right. I don't know what it's going to be like. But I don't want to be one to sit there and say, well, here's why. How stupid is that going to sound when we try to make our excuses before the Lord? And all what we're going to be judged for is, have we honored Christ with our lives? What have we done with Jesus since we've been saved? Are we honoring the Lord? Honoring Christ in our message. We have a message to give, don't we? Honoring Christ in our music. And I believe we have Christ-honoring music around here. Doctrinally correct, and people sing different kinds of songs, but it all honors the Lord. Honoring Christ with their money, and I believe people are faithful in their tithing and giving. Thank God for that. Honoring Christ with our methods. And we talked about those methods, biblical methods. But then honoring Christ as members. You can't pay your way through just because you give your tithe. That's one way you can honor the Lord, yes. But honoring Christ as members of His body is something that we do inside here and, more importantly, outside here. It's not just what happens inside the sanctuary. It's what we do when we leave. And that's truly the test of how we honor Christ with our lives. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we do thank You for how merciful You are to us and how good You are. Thank You for loving us. And even, Lord, when we make our mistakes, thank You that You don't quit loving us, but You allow us opportunity to confess those faults, those sins. And You cleanse us. Lord, help us to be a people that honor You, and help us to ask ourselves these questions. Lord, help us to ask ourselves, are we willing to give up those things that dishonor You? Are we willing to commit ourselves to You? Are we, Lord, doing with our lives? Can we say that we're doing things that honors the Lord? Help us to be in Your will tonight, and help us to do things Your way. And Lord, help us to make a difference in this world that we live in by honoring Christ in every part of our life. We'll thank You and we'll praise You. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray.